approaching destination. Prepare to dock.
Oh, blimey.
They've gone.
Now what do we do?
We're stuck here for the rest of our days.
My earliest memories is going through the Egyptian section of the British Museum time and time again.
The king has departed this world. You are to travel with him to the Golden Land.
There are people now that believe that the ancient Egyptians did have links with the stars, that pyramids are aligned with the stars.
Then they caught sight of a huge pyramidal-shaped rock situated in the valley below the horizon.
I knew all about the pyramids being lined up with Orion, actually. I linked all this into the show.
We're going to move up the rock face a little way. The way this rock is formed, it's only like walking up a flight of shallow steps.
Pyramids, steps. Next thing they'll be telling us, I found a step pyramid.
When I got the idea of ancient Egypt and ships flowing through the air, and also the idea of people walking around with animal heads.
They resemble the portraits of gods to be found inside many ancient Egyptian tombs.
The Egyptians were great science fiction writers.
You are to be priest of Re, whose eye is the sun. No servant of the god-king Re can ever be released.
You mean he expects us all to serve to the death?
Unto death and beyond.
Journey into Space Force with Charles Chilton. Chilton interview material requested. Searching for data. Access authorized. Prepare for transmission. Prepare for transmission. In 3, 2, 1.
I don't want to leave your house before we've talked about the Goons. What was it like taking over a show like The Goons?
Well, I was delighted to do it because I liked all the characters. Particularly did I like Harry Secombe. And then there was Peter Sellers, who was just becoming a star. I mean, a star of films and heaven knows what. I think about their third or fourth series I took them over. But before that, I'd done a lot of work with Spike before there were any Goons. I used to write a show called The Bowery Bar, in which we had a singer, a chap called Len Young, who used to appear at the London Palladium and sing like Al Jolson, Len Young. And one scriptwriter, one chap who was giving me some sketches for Len Young, was Spike Milligan. And Spike used to turn up with his sketch and hang around in case it needed rewriting or anything. And the very first show we ever did, Spike was there. And 2 minutes before we were due to go on the air, there was no sign of Len Young. So I rushed down, I think, I bet he's in the loo. So I went down, I knocked, and yes, there was a door like that. And I said, Len, where are you? He said, I said, Len, we're on. He said, I can't go on, I can't. He got stage fright. And he was sitting on the loo. He couldn't do anything about it. And I didn't know what to do. So I rushed upstairs and I said, you know, Spike said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Oh, I'll do it. So I said, right. So we started. So he did. He did it. And I used him always after that. He used to write the script and appear in the show. And this chap, Len Young, he was, you know, he was the principal character. He sang well. But the strange thing is, there was a further development. In those days, we did the show in Aeolian Hall in Bond Street, but the continuity was in Broadcasting House. So any announcement about our show came from BH. So at the beginning of the show, we would have the announcer at BH say, now we're going over to the Bowery Room, where we're going to be entertained by that 19th century popular singer, Len Young. But Stuart Hibber could never say Len Young. He said, we're now going over to hear the show featuring Long Ying. So, was it Long Ying? So we'd ring him up at the end and say, you got it wrong. He said, well, what did I say? So you said Long Ying. So what's his name? Len Young. Oh, I'm awfully sorry. He used to say, I'm terribly sorry. Well, they used to do periods of 4 weeks then. So for 4 weeks we got Stuart Hibbert, and he never got the name right. He called him Long Ying, Ying Lang, Lang Yong. And in the end, Spike wrote the script, the Bowery Bar, with Len Young, the Chinese entertainer.
That was a gift for Spike, isn't it?
But absolute gift for Spike. And in the end, Spike took the show over. He played the bar.
What was involved in producing The Goons?
Well, you got a script during the week from Spike, and we'd all sit round reading it. Didn't sound like anything, you know, when you read it without the funny voices, because they all read it straight. And quite often there was quite a lot of tension between them, especially between Spike and Peter Sellers. And in the middle was Harry Secombe giggling all the time. And I used to sit next to Harry, and then Peter would say to me, "Will you tell the scriptwriter that I can't say this line? It's impossible to say, it's badly written." Oh, so I'd say to Spike, Peter says this guy, and he can't read it. He says he'll read it and like it. He says you'll read it and like it. Will I hell? And then they'd start, you see, and I'd have to sit between they really got on each other's nerves, although on the whole they were great, very friendly, of course. But they were just like that. Peter, if he got something in his mind, he stuck to it and wouldn't change it. Apart from that, there was no problem that I knew of.
I asked the question about Spike delivering the scripts because we tend to hear stories now that writing for Spike could be a very painful business. Yes. Because, of course, he had health problems. Were you experiencing those problems with Spike then?
No, Spike was very clever. He had a few subsidiary writers that he used to pay. And when he got these fits on, it was because he was blown up in Italy. He was blown up during the invasion of Italy. And he used to feel these spasms coming on. He knew when they were going to happen. But meanwhile, he always carried around with him these two spare scriptwriters who were also performers. And occasionally they stepped in and said a few lines for him and so on.
Oh, we know he wrote a few episodes with the likes of Eric Sykes, but yes. were these unnamed, these other writers?
Yes. They became famous writers later, but they were on his staff. He had this office down in Kensington, and he had a staff of scriptwriters there. And, of course, but anything that he paid them for went out in his name. And he usually rewrote everything they gave him.
Journey into Space Force with Charles Chilton. Transmission ended. Transmission ended. Transmission ended. Transmission ended.